cider industry in America. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And now, stay tuned, coming right up for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, February 17th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have an audio guest today. I recorded a little bit on a Monday up in Celilo. I was speaking with Lana Jack, one of the last of the Celilo YM, the only tribe that has rights to the Celilo and to the, legal phrasing is, traditional and customary fishing sites, what's left of them, because everything else, as we know, is underwater. And for that matter, just to draw listeners' attention to the fact that you're going to be very, very soon hearing a lot about Maya Lin's next project, and that would be Celilo. Maya Lin is given $2 million to build an art project at Celilo Park, which is right on the river. Celilo Park, the actual access to the river, is now going to be mainly a celebration of Maya Lin's ability to manipulate public funding in her own, the interest of her own celebrity. No, of course, no disrespect to Maya Lin. The actual inhabitants of Celilo Village, which is loudly proclaimed on a huge wooden sign that says Indian Village, right? There's only about 60 people living there. No shops, no gas station, nothing. There's a policeman and then there's a longhouse, and that's about it. To gain access to the river, to customary and traditional fishing sites, the people of Celilo Village are forced to go across train tracks and under a freeway. If that's traditional and customary, people 10,000 years ago, it'd be news to them. It was news to the people of Celilo, for that matter. The 20 remaining residents of Celilo who are the Celilo YM and really are the descendants of the original people. They have inhabited that site for many thousands of years. You're going to be hearing shortly Leonard Jack explain exactly how those 10,000 years went by and brought her and her people to where they are today. She is one of roughly 20 remaining Celilo YM, and she inherited her ancestral name from her grandmother. It translates as the ever-present cooling mist of the falls. But the falls, once called the Wall Street of the Northwest, an epicenter of indigenous cooperation and commerce, are today silent. Of course, they're underwater. They are down there dreaming. the colossal Dalles Dam, which was built in 1957, everything, the 10,000 years of history, 10,000 years of story, was inundated, was wiped out. The tribe has lived at the falls for an unfathomable 10,000 years and remains still to this day, wait for it, federally unrecognized. And the Jack family, one of the tribe's last standing families, embodies the hypocrisy of the federal government and the other tribes who do, in fact, have standing and are recognized. And the Salila Wayam really are ghosts of their ancestors. So we're going to play that audio now. And you can hear Lena talking about exactly what we've just breezed through now.
So welcome to Salila. We are recording live here at Salila today and feeling pretty great because it is a beautiful, sunshiny day here. So we're here to talk about some of the issues that have set precedents in terms of our standing here at Salila as Wayam Indians, not federally recognized with any of the three confederated tribes. And there have been articles written. There have been many stories written about Salila. There have been many people who've spoken to the issue, but and many books written. In regards to Salila, and in regards to the stories that have been written, it's always from a perspective of the Yakima Umatilla Warm Springs, and as if though everybody became affiliated with one of these tribes. So back in 1950, in the beginning of all of these talks behind BPA's plan to build the dams on the Columbia River, there was a number of folks who just refused to leave and refused to just be set apart from their ancestor, the Salila Falls, whether it was going to be flooded or not. And so Chief Tommy Thompson and his delegates battled with the United States government to secure their stay here and taking this stand against the United States government meant that they were going to be disenfranchised and not come under the protection of the United States government is what people would believe. Mm-hmm. And I think that the shift that needs to take place on that note is that the government has a responsibility to such other Columbia River Indians, and the key word is Indians. So the federal government has the responsibility to represent us and not be a part of the extermination of us. And like a part of it is that in all of this time now, in every action that they've taken to remove the original people, the Salila Wayam, off the land, to disenfranchise, to commit genocide.
And that's
is that they wouldn't have to deal with these individual Indians. But you see, federal Indian law protects individual Indians as well as those who are reserved under the government-to-government relationship that their respective tribes have. So when we look at the picture today and we find ourselves discussing Salila Wayam today, it's always with the idea that we are no more. And I suppose we aren't. You know, and that's how they would have it, is that we are not a people, that we're not recognized, so we're not an Indian people. To even have to acknowledge. And sadly enough to say, everybody has bought into that as if though it's truth. And as I reside here, it's a very hurtful truth. I've had to battle my own emotion to maintain some stability in my own life behind the annihilation of our people, behind just not ever having a fulfillment of promise. I mean, you know, like, here we are in a new village, and there has been recently a rebuilding that has given it a new face, but it still has the old face of do not acknowledge the original people. And the original people, having resided here for 10,000 plus years, I would hope to give them a voice today in the matter of who I am. So I can only honestly speak going back to my great-grandmother. I don't have any knowledge of the rest of our mothers down the line. I just know that by their Indian names, they still reside on this land, or maybe they're actually over in Smithsonian or even in Harvard or Yale, because back in the early 1900s, our ancient Indian village was excavated here at Lilo, and it was on the hill residing behind this current village. And so I honestly can't tell you that my ancestors are all buried here, because a number of people, including a couple of private archaeologists, were allowed to excavate the bones of our ancestors and chalk us up as relics. So this ongoing lie that we you know, aren't here, that we should never be acknowledged, that we should never be recognized as people from this land, having been here 10,000 plus years, has been an ongoing genocide.
And then on that note of genocide, today we have Maya Lin building a $2 million confluence project, which is hailed and celebrated by pretty much everybody except Lana Jack. She is the only wrench in the works at the moment, and therefore her life, this has in fact endangered her life. When Lana Jack says at the beginning of the interview that it's lovely because it's a bright sunny day, it was overcast. Lana Jack lives in a house in Salilo village right now to this day with her doors locked and blankets and cloth over the windows, because there is so much hostility around her all the time, because she will not back down. No retreat and no surrender. She will not give away. She will not betray her own people. And she will not bend to the will of the greater society, the culture at large, that believes that Maya Lin, not a Salilo YM herself, has the right to come in. What a difference would have made. $2 million to Salilo Village, where they could build a monument to their own story, which is a lot more interesting than the fabricated story that's being told. If you would like to reach out to Secretary Jewell of the Department of the Interior and ask how much longer it's going to take for the Salilo YM to be recognized so they can access their traditional and customary fishing sites. Two of Lena Jack's family members, two other Salilo YM members, were fishing in their traditional and customary sites. They were arrested. They're now facing charges. They have no lawyers. They have nothing. And they're going up against the entire justice system, if you can call it that. If this seems wrong to you, you write to Sally Jewell, Secretary of the Interior. Oh, we've got all that information. I know it's difficult to catch it and write it all down at the moment we're talking, but there it lies. Democracy for America has this. In the last 18 hours, more than 50,000 Americans have signed an emergency petition urging Obama to hurry up and nominate a justice to the Supreme Court. Mitch McConnell, again, talk about a wrench in the works. Mitch McConnell says that and the rest of the Republicans are following meekly along behind him in confirming that they will not confirm anyone that Obama puts up. And it's on. It's an epic Washington political battle, and we'll see how it changes the shape of an already fraught election year. Authorities in Klamath Falls in southwestern Oregon say they're investigating if someone fired shots into a local law enforcement officer's home and vehicles. Wondering about that and seeing if there might be some sort of link to the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. That's it for today, Wednesday, February 17th, 2016. It's been Air Cascadia. Engineering for us today, Patsy Colbert. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints will feature excerpts from a brand new speech by radical economist Dr. Richard Wolff. Just a